Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together for one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we welcome Dr. Brandon Crooms. Brandon is a visiting professor of sports management at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas, and has written a new devotional book titled The Game Changer, a playbook of prayer, scripture, and affirmations for athletes. Brandon's research focuses on the influence of Christian faith in the development of racial and athletic identities of Black male student athletes. We're really excited to talk to Brandon, so let's get started.
Well, we're so excited to have Brandon Crooms with us today. Brandon, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Oh, sport. Sport is something that has taught me a lot. Sport is a teacher to me. It's a vehicle. It's a tool. It's so many different things. But for me, I think just being introduced to sport at a young age through family members, through friends, it was a way for me to meet people, interact, build community, learn some things about myself, good, bad. But also, you know, it's a way just to build relationship. And even to this day, you know, I still engage in sport in so many different ways, whether it's me a participant of sport, whether it's me studying sport, whether it's me writing about sport, or bringing people together because of sport and using that as a vehicle to bring people together. It's all around. So it's everything. It's a lot of things to me. So sport is a great, great thing.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't agree more with that. Well, tell us a little bit about faith in your life.
Yeah. So, faith is, for me, it's an ongoing thing. I'm learning, every day. And I try to learn, every day about how I can build my faith, how I can activate my faith, how I can integrate my faith in different spaces and different places. And that can be a joy, but also could be uncomfortable. And from my understanding about uncomfortability and being intentional about it, it has a way of stretching you and building you. And also just drawing you near. To me, it's a way to draw near to my personal Savior, Jesus Christ. And so faith is my inspiration. It's my drive. When people get to know me, they probably describe me as someone who's very passionate, especially when it comes to things that I enjoy, like sport, like faith, among other things. But for me, none of that really matters to me if it does not connect to faith. Faith is like the centerpiece of everything that I do. And so I have to make sure that I take a look in my faith, that I find myself in putting my myself in places to develop and build my faith. So that way I can be and become. That's just my life, really my life. Yes.
Yeah, I love that, Brandon. I especially love the word uncomfortable. That's a great way to describe, in some ways, the challenges that we go through as Christians. I'm guessing that the disciples were uncomfortable a lot, hanging around with Jesus. Yeah. And it seems like that's a steady state. It's something that is maybe thought of as a negative thing, but certainly a positive thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and I'm really getting interested in getting to know you more, to hear about your life and your book. But I wonder if there's one thing that you could pull out that would help our listeners get to know you, some hobby, some activity, some experience in life that would help us get to know you.
Yeah, I love actually going to see a movie, not just watching the movie at my house, which I enjoy. I love that. But also I love to go to movie theaters. And I live right now in San Antonio, Texas. And they say everything's big in Texas. So there's a lot of big movie theaters and there's a lot of options. I mean, you don't just have the AMC and Cinemark, but you have Sandico's and a lot more different theaters. And so I just like just that experience of seeing a new movie, sitting down with popcorn. Movie popcorn is not the healthiest thing, but that's my guilty pleasure, I would say. But also, I'm a musician. I've been raised in a musical, talented family. My mom's actually a national gospel recording artist, and just kind of seeing her, just do something that she enjoyed doing it and doing it for the glory of God. But also having family members that were musicians, it was just inevitable for me to pick up an instrument. And that first instrument was the drums. And the drums went from playing the trumpet, starting in middle school, you know, your middle school band, the high school band, jazz band. And I was brave enough to venture out to other percussion instruments. So I love the congas. I love the Latin sounds. I love the sounds of just different cultures and just different ethnic groups. And so I love music. I love listening to music. I love making music and just having conversations about musicianship.
Well, Brandon, you just went way beyond what both Chad and I know. And I'm speaking for you, Chad, but
No,
that's awesome. The musical connection, you know, going back one, I wonder, so this summer, did you, you like going to the theater, having the full theater experience? What was the movie for this summer?
Oh, man. Oh, there were so many. Let me take a minute.
So I've heard about Deadpool.
I did see that. I did see Deadpool.
What do you think?
It was a lot. It was a lot, but I love the cameos. I got very excited about seeing characters like Gambit, Wolverine's daughter, Blade. I just love that because, I mean, just growing up, I mean, especially during the early 90s, Blade was kind of like the doorway to the Marvel movies that we see today. And to see him as the older Blade, but still have that character, that excited me. So I love cameos. That was a good one. I've seen so many, but for some reason, they just can't.
Despicable Me 4.
Which one?
Despicable Me.
I didn't see that one. But I did see an animation movie that was very deep. It was something about emotions. I don't know if you know about that one.
Okay.
Was there an Inside Out sequel? Was that?
Inside Out. That's what it was. Part 2. Uh-huh. And if you haven't seen that movie, definitely go see that. I didn't even go to see the first one, but I just was just jumped into the second one. And I was like blown away about how deep that movie was. But so many life lessons in that movie. So go check it out.
Yeah. And you can tell Chet has young kids, right? Despicable Me.
No, that's what it is.
There it is. Those are great. My kids still compare me to Gru. So there you go. So, Brandon, we don't know you a lot. You've written a book called Game Changer, which I really want to get into. But before that, I wonder if you could, and this is a maybe an unfair question, but if you could pull one or two like eventful moments from your life, one or two or three eventful moments of your life that describe who you are, what would those be?
Well, this is still fresh and I'm like maybe a couple of weeks in, and I think this is a good example. I just came back actually from a mission trip in Cape Town, South Africa. And this was actually, it actually originated from an invite that I had from a mentor of mine who was a professor at the University of Texas at Austin. So I was pursuing my PhD at the University of Texas, and there was a man by the name of Dr. Moore, very dynamic, vibrant professor that a lot of students liked. They loved him as a person, but also he was a minister. He was a preacher. And he will often do some like courageous things, like take a group of students to study abroad in South Africa and Dubai and Beijing. And so this one opportunity, he invited me to go to a trip like that, but it was only during the spring semester. And I was the only graduate student in general. He brought some of his friends. And we went there almost like a cultural exchange-like opportunity, but it quickly turned into us visiting churches and really preaching the gospel and encouraging, empowering, and bringing hope of Jesus Christ in these different areas. And so I was brought in to as a student to teach and to preach to the youth and the young adults. And as a result of that, God was definitely glorified. His power was definitely witnessed, and it made an impression on some of the pastors and the people that was there. And so I just kept in touch with one of the pastors there, who's also a community leader. And last year we came up with the idea to start a mentorship program. And so this mentorship program was basically an extension of that experience. And so I call it the Be Powered International Mentorship Program. And it's housed under Crooms Collective, which is the LLC, the business, but the initiative, the ministry, Be Power, which focuses on leadership and athletics. I started doing virtual mentorship programs monthly. And then that mentorship was quickly formed into like discipleship, and just really just giving them something that they don't see often. And that's positive role models, a positive role model that's consistent, that speaks life, that gives them wisdom, direction, but also just being there as an expression of care. And that care comes from the love of Christ. And so this past summer, I took a team with me. Again, it was very similar to my first experience, but this team was people that are friends of mine, but also I see them as leaders and have a heart for youth, heart for the community, and really want to see God's kingdom on earth. And so it was a group of about five people, including myself, and we hosted a youth conference as well as a women's conference, because there were two women speakers there as well. And so you talk about an experience, and you know, imagine speaking to these young men, encouraging them. You begin to see them almost like your sons, and then all of a sudden you walk in the door, you see them in person, and you can just feel and see how just excited they were just to see me in person. I mean, I was excited to see them. And so it was almost like a family reunion. That's one event. Maybe that could be two, but I'll stop there for the sake of time.
Well, I sort of want to pursue that a little bit more too, before we get into talking about your book. I mean, you just sort of briefly mentioned the Crooms Collective, and I'm just curious if you can talk more about all sort of the mentorship, consulting, the work that you're doing that clearly comes from your heart for developing, you know, the whole person. And you've got this background in sport, right? You've got this family connection with music. You've got, you know, you've got the three letters after your name, you know, that signify that you completed a doctoral program. And so like all of that is working towards something there, right? And there's something that draws you to working with young people. I wonder if you can share a little bit more about the Crooms Collective in general.
Absolutely. I have to start off with scripture, specifically the parable that Jesus was speaking of to the disciples when it comes to the different talents and how God gave different amount of talents to these three different men. And some had more than the other. One had less. Long story short, the person with less hid it because he was afraid that he would lose or it wouldn't be something that the master would be proud of. But the other two, they went out and stewarded well and it multiplied. And when the master came back, he was very angry. He was very angry at the person that they didn't take what they had and steward it well and multiply it. And so I live my life by that. That really is a reflection of my mindset, my passion. And I do realize that God has blessed me with talents that I have already identified, talents that I'm walking in. But I also know that there's some other talents that will be developed and discovered later on in life. And I say that as encouragement for others that may be listening. Just because you may not know exactly what your talents is, or you don't know your purpose, you're not walking your purpose. Just know if you be patient and you still focus on Jesus, He will identify that, and it will be healthy because it's coming from the leadership of Christ. And so, yeah, so Crooms Collective is a combination, accumulation of all those different things that I find myself gifted in. And so that's public speaking. And so I do motivational speaking. I do empowerment, but also I do workshops. And so some of the work that I do as a professor, it's a lot to do with teaching, but also research. That is almost a way for me to continue my research outside the classroom to teach the community and to plot to make it practical to the community. And so that's through workshops, that's through mentorship, as well as program development. A couple of years ago, was hired as a consultant for Head Start's Child Inc. in Austin, Texas. And they wanted me to kind of revitalize a program that I had for fathers. Now, if you know anything about Head Start, it's really about early childhood development. And there's an extension of it when it comes to like, hey, it's not just the education, but it's the holistic, the whole child. What impacts the whole child? And obviously what impacts the child as well is the parent. And so we have to make sure that we educate the parents and we empower them as well. And so I was brought on to revitalize and rebuild a radio show called The Dad Show. It's a radio show, but I came in and kind of converted it into almost like a YouTube podcast. And I went on for a couple of seasons. And that's an example of what I do with Crooms Collective. So I hate to narrow, it's not just about sport. It's really about building people, you know, human development, humanity, building people up from youth all the way up to adults and the people that affect that. And so that's some of what Crooms Collective is about as well.
Well, that's super exciting, and it makes perfect sense to me how you don't anticipate narrowing this down. In fact, broadening it based on the interests of yours, the talents, your own passions, which comes through definitely in this conversation, that you're passionate about Jesus Christ and you're passionate about helping others, and that all comes through. We Absolutely. Here at Sport Faith Life are going to help you narrow it. And so we're going to ask you about sports, right?
Okay.
It's not your fault. We're going to ask you, right?
Yeah.
So this book, Game Changer, it targets in some ways athletes, yeah, or it's certainly about sports. So I wonder if you could give us just a sense of why you chose, I mean, you even chose a career in sports in some ways, right? So what caused you to do that? And then tell us a little bit more about the book.
Yeah, I chose a career in sport because I saw how sport brought joy, it brought happiness to people, but also it steered people in the wrong way when it was mismanaged and it was not handled correctly. And so I could speak directly when it comes to identity. Identity is so important. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have given us identity. And God said that we were created in His image. And we know that throughout life, there's so many different factors and areas in life and society that will pull and tug on your identity to what is popular, what's trending, what people want. But when it's not centered in something that is unmovable, something that is true, then there will be problems. And so sport is one of those things. You know, sport, if you do not handle it and manage it, it can overconsume you, and it can cause you to see yourself just as an athlete. And no matter how hard I wanted to be that athlete, to want to see myself just as an athlete, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was God that was preventing me from getting to that point, because I was raised in a Christian upbringing. Both my grandparents were pastors. And so in a lot of ways that helped me along the way, but also I made some decisions that caused me to come into some disappointing times. So I've experienced a lot of failure, especially within sport, a lot of disappointment. I wasn't the greatest athlete of any team that I was. I was good, but wasn't the greatest athlete. But as I was growing up and maturing and developing friendships and relationships, I've noticed that people like me were beginning to form their identities so much in sport. And I was blessed not to get to the point to where I had an identity crisis, but I know people who have. I know people that spend a lot of time in their life on sport and just life passing them by and they're missing out on opportunities. And so that's why when I went off, and before I went off to pursue my PhD, I knew that I was interested in studying this, studying the role of athletic identity and its impact on even the intersection with racial identity, specifically with African-American males, and especially in a racialized society in America, and the nuances and the complexities of identities, but also the things that's going on. But also, I was curious to know the faith side. And so that's when I formulated my research niche and focus on the intersection of race, faith, and sports, specifically the influence of Christian faith on the athletic identity and racial identity of student athletes.
So tell us a little bit more about that research that you've done and the intersection sport, faith, and race, right? Yeah. What have you found? Like, what are the insights that come from the research you've done?
Yeah, so I find that there's a lot of factors that comes in that, like I said before, that affects students and their perception of themselves. And a lot of times it's coming from places they don't recognize, but also they're aware of some of these places. But also when they're trying to develop their identities, it could be difficult. It could be difficult because of demanding of the sport, but also trying to find out how to apply the faith, not only in the sport, but also how does it, how is faith can be understood in a way that can speak to their cultural identity, their what they find to be important for them. So a lot of times, you know, when they're coming into these places with, you know, talk about faith, they feel almost like isolated, you know, feeling like they don't belong because of just certain things that they come from certain experiences, and these certain environments doesn't speak to those certain experiences. A lot of times there's another reason for them to go in a different direction. However, when it comes to history and looking at the history of, if we talk about African Americans and African American males, looking at history as a form of inspiration and as a means of finding faith in history to build their faith now, and looking at it in a way of how can we put this together to build their sense of identity that is firm on Christ, but not in a way that's isolating other identities that they have that is important to them as well.
So I'm curious, when you're talking about this identity building, right, this formation of a person of character, and sport has an influence and race has an influence and other things too. And I wonder if you're seeing synergy between those two, where they actually help each other in a positive way, or do they sort of fight against each other? How are you seeing those two dynamics play out in the research you've done?
Yeah, so a lot of ways, you know, as we know, there's something called the self-fulfilled prophecy, and it kind of steers people in not just the sport that they play, but the position that they play. And that has to do with race as well. At times we find that, for an example, let's say that there's a taller African-American male who has leadership qualities, know how to find the wide receiver, know how to throw the ball to get to the wide receiver, but also they have some speed. And so a lot of times you find in different parts of the country, we call this stacking, you know, in a sense of you're sending athletes based on preconceived notions about certain people. And so because of the speed and because it stands out to you the most, you'll probably send him to maybe a wide receiver or cornerback in that position, disregarding a position that historically has been focused more so. If you look at the history of it in previous years, a lot of times it's predominantly Caucasian or white Americans. And so those are the kind of the negative ways of it. However, when it comes to, and we're still talking about race and sport, right? Right. And so even when it comes to self-fulfilled prophecy and certain stereotypes when it comes to African-Americans, there are certain opportunities that come from playing sport. And when you are in an environment that's really supporting you in this athletic journey, you find yourself growing and developing athletically because of the support that you have. And a lot of times when you become really good at something, the opportunities open up and you see the fruits of that.
What does a self-fulfilling prophecy look like in sort of the communities of Christian faith?
Yeah.
I guess I'm curious about that. I'm following you here. Like, that makes sense to me in terms of sports, and maybe this isn't something you looked at in your research, but does that do anything within the cultures of Christian faith that you found with athletes and their identity?
Yeah. Actually, I've never really used the terminology self-fulfilling prophecy within the Christian faith. But, you know, taking a look at the research and my experiences, it's the same thing in a sense of you're in an environment, let's say an athlete, a Christian athlete, and you have done or have made certain actions for other people to almost develop a future for you. And they speak that future for you already. And so let's say a young athlete that is also shows leadership qualities, that's really strong in the faith, and people around you recognize, hey, this person actually is going to be a pastor. You know, this young athlete, because he expressed so much qualities and he loves talking about the gospel, he's going to be an evangelist. And so as a result of it, they begin to internalize that and they begin to see that as an opportunity or they possess the capabilities and the abilities to do that. And so they begin to walk in that. That's I would say, the benefits of it. The negative side of that could be pressure. Same way with sport. And so a lot of times we can't really control that because it's coming from other places. It's coming psychologically, certain environments, and it's coming from other people. And a lot of ways, from my experience, that's why a lot of people run away from, I would say, the church body and the institution, thinking that they run away from God. but they really run away from people that comes from the church institution. And, you know, a lot of times they find their way themselves back. But unfortunately, some people do not come back. And so that's why I wrote this book, The Game Changer, because to be a tool for those athletes that need to need a refresher. They need something to reignite that or to ignite someone who is new to the faith and they need some guidance and some direction. They have a tool that can help them along the way. And so that was really the motivation behind that book, is because me as a mentor, me as a former athlete, even athlete now, I like to say I'm an athlete now, I've experienced and seen a lot of the athletes that have been discouraged, they've been hurt, they've been misguided, been lost. And all they need is someone to kind of help guide them, to speak a life or just give them something that is tangible and is applicable. And I think sometimes as mentors, as people or leaders or adults, that people that's older, they want better for the young ones or the student athletes, but they don't know how to connect with them. You know, they're speaking to them, they're preaching to them, but what is the application? You know, how can I do this? And so that's what this book is. It's devotion, the 31 devotional. It's a scripture along with some words of affirmation, a prayer, and some reflection questions. And that's something that I see as spiritual principles that can help build your faith.
So you've given us some idea now, Brandon, about the reason, the idea of who should read this book and why this person should read this book. Can you give us a little bit, maybe just a taste of some of the content? What if somebody picks this book up and starts leafing through it, what's an example of what they'll find there? And how does it maybe different than other sport devotionals?
Yeah. This devotional is not just a devotional for athletes. I just use sport as a theme. And of course, athletes can get a lot from it because of the examples, the testimonies and things like that you'll find in devotion. But it's all about lifestyle, you know, and I really separate it with, I think, maybe four different topics. There's identity, accountability, lifestyle, and I call it overtime, but it's really just helping the reader to see themselves beyond just in the athletic role, but seeing that, using that athletic role as, like I said it before, like a vehicle to really see it as a way, as purpose and thinking with purpose. And so in this devotional, it can be done by yourself because that's typically what devotionals are done. But also it could be a devotional that could be done within a small group. And I intentionally created and designed it in that way, in the sense that, hey, we can do this individually, but also we can come together and we can read over it again, go through the devotion, read the scripture, read the I call it the huddle chants. The huddle chants is the words of affirmations. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And I think a lot of times people experience death in their life is because of what they're saying about their situation, what they're saying about themselves, about other people. And so in this huddle chant, they're speaking life. They're speaking scripture. And it's worded in a way that they can see themselves. But also there's a part in it called the play call. The play call is when we go back and there is like summary points based on the devotion. So if we forget what we wrote about and it didn't make sense to us, it's for some reason it just didn't stick. All right, these are quick points that you can take with you. And then lastly, there's the what I call the play call. The timeout. The timeout is the reflection question. So that's when you take time to yourself, read the questions that was related to devotion, and you just take time to write about it, meditate on it. And that's when you could do by, that's something you could do by yourself, but also in a small group. I call it the playbook. It's a playbook.
Well, Brandon, thanks so much for giving us a little bit of insight into the book itself. For people that are interested in getting it, I wonder if we could just close out and you could talk a little bit about where they might access the book, but also the other resources that you're producing so people can find you.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. You can find the book on Amazon, online Amazon.com, as well as Barnes & Noble's online site, as well as my website. My website is brandoncrooms.com. You can reach out to me through my email address, book.croomscollective@gmail.com. And I'm also on the social media outlets. You can find me on Instagram as well as TikTok. I use TikTok to really engage with the youth and to encourage and to inspire parents and coaches as well.
Yeah, I love that, Brandon. Thanks so much for coming on Sport Faith Life. Thanks for the good work you're doing. And perhaps in the future, we'll be able to talk to you again about other projects.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything sport, faith, life.